It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, the Great Lakes Intertribal Council just received a $4 million grant to help fight substance abuse in Native communities in Wisconsin. We'll hear about the scope of the problem and how the grant could help.
First, 11 Republican presidential contenders will go head-to-head in the second GOP primary debate tonight at the Reagan Presidential Library. It's hosted by CNN and is scheduled to begin at 7 o'clock Central.
While Donald Trump has held on to his lead since that last debate, many of the other candidates have shifted around in the polls, including former business executive Carly Fiorina, who was not on the main stage for the last debate. She will be there tonight.
Among the leading candidates at the moment, one clear thread stands out. Fiorina, Trump, and Ben Carson are all running on backgrounds as political outsiders, and we'll see how that dynamic plays out.
We'll also be watching Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, who has fallen significantly in the polls since the last debate when he spoke of himself as aggressively normal. Here with us now for a special edition of This Week in Washington is a preview of the debate with USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. Paul, welcome back.
Hey, good to be with you. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Now, some things have changed, as we mentioned, since the last debate. According to the latest CNN poll, every Republican has slipped in the national polls since the debate, except Ben Carson, Donald Trump, and Carly Fiorina. This means something, I think. What does it mean, Paul?
Well, it, you know, at the moment, what it means is that the people who are answering surveys and polls are expressing an interest in outsiders. They're expressing an interest in people who have not been in Washington, you might say corrupted by Washington. It is very clear that there is an enormous frustration with the progress and the process in Washington, in Congress, in the White House. I think people are responding to that. I'm dancing around your question a little bit because, you know, I honestly can't tell you what this means about when people go to vote, right? I don't know what it means when they go to vote, but I know what it means what they're feeling now, and what they're feeling now is a little bit of outrage.
Well, it's interesting that these are people running for office, and they're denying the one aspect that the office requires. It's an office of politics, and they don't want anything to do with politics as they talk about it right now. Can that possibly stay the narrative until the election?
You know, Trump has really surprised all of us because we keep asking him questions like, what would you do to solve X or solve Y? And he gives answers that are kind of, you know, magical. He says, oh, you know, if Ford is going to move their plant to Mexico, I'll just tell them, well, heck, I'll slap a tariff on your cars and then you won't. And then everybody applauds. Well, he can't do that. I mean, the president doesn't have the authority to do that. Like, nobody seems to care. Now the question is, again, when it comes time to actually vote for people, will people then peel back and say, okay, well, we need somebody who actually knows what they're going to do and what policies they're going to implement other than just bringing the best negotiators. But there's also something to be said for a real frustration with the way government has worked, the way politics has worked, and people want to be heard. And maybe Donald has given voice to them.
Do you think we'll see a lot of this kind of insider-outsider talk at the debate tonight from those outsider candidates and maybe from, say, sitting governors who say, hey, I'm not in Washington, so I'm an outsider too?
Yeah, well, there's definitely this sort of, you know, and your Governor Walker has, I think, suffered some of this over the past a couple of months that, you know, he sort of played two different lines. One is saying, you know, oh, I've, you know, fought the unions, I've been the guy who could make change. And then on the other hand, he said, oh, I'm an outsider, I got nothing to do with, you know, government and politics. You know, it's a very fine line to run when you're running on a record, but also trying to say, well, I'm the outsider. So one of the challenges for a lot of these candidates is making it clear to observers, to viewers, what is the theme in 20 words or less you want people to think of you with? Your walk-away line, what do you want them to remember about you? If it is something like Rick Perry's oops, then you're in trouble.
We're talking with USA Today's Paul Singer right now about tonight's Republican presidential debate. And Paul, obviously one big change is that Carly Fiorina has been bumped up to the big leagues tonight.
Yes, we have a woman.
We have a woman in the race, and she's sort of already started to go mano a mano with Donald Trump. But what else do you expect from tonight's debate and from Carly Fiorina in particular?
Well, she's interesting in part because she's the only female in the race on the Republican side. She has said that that also gives her an advantage in fighting back against Hillary Clinton and making comparisons to Hillary Clinton. In the last debate, she talked a lot about her contrast to Clinton, and I expect to hear a lot of that from her again. And, you know, this will be interesting because this is an opportunity for Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina to be on stage together. He was insulting to her recently, saying that that's not the face you want to see as your president. And she shot back, saying, "I'm proud of my face and every wrinkle. You know, this is the face of a 61-year-old woman, and be proud of it." I would not be surprised to see them mix it up a little bit, and frankly, I would not be surprised to see the moderators try and prod them to mix it up a little bit. They want good TV too, so I would definitely expect to see and hear more of that.
Let's give a listen to a little bit of that Carly Fiorina speech, which was subsequently turned into a Carly Fiorina campaign ad, responding to that "look at that face" comment from Donald Trump.
Ladies, look at this face. And look at all of your faces. The face of leadership. The face of leadership in our party, the party of women's suffrage. The face of leadership in your communities, in your businesses, in your places of work and worship. Ladies, note to Democrat Party. We are not a special interest group. We are the majority of the nation. This is the face of a 61-year-old woman I am proud of every year and every wrinkle.
All right, so she's coming out strong there and going after, it sounds like, Republican women, among whom Donald Trump, apparently, according to polls, has done reasonably well. Is this an in for Carly Fiorina, Paul?
You know, the funny thing about that ad, when you listen to it, is that that could have been Hillary Clinton. With the exception of the line about, you know, "Hey, Democrats," that could have been Hillary Clinton making that case, that women are leadership. And I think none of us really understand why people are so attracted to Donald Trump at this point. I mean, I think the candidates are mystified. I think the pundits are mystified. I think the press is mystified. We keep thinking, well, why are college-educated and women are flocking to Donald Trump? How is it possible? Because he keeps saying offensive things about women. But there is a magic there that I don't understand. And I don't know whether this is the strategy that wins them back. It clearly, you know, Carly Fiorina is trying to turn this little dust-up into a call to arms for Republican women to rally around her. I don't know if it works. I'm still kind of scratching my head about how come Donald hasn't cratered.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, could that be a slingshot for Fiorina to use Donald Trump to get some momentum of her own and piggyback off his fame? And maybe she emerges the victor tonight. If they are really going at each other's throats, it'll be interesting to see who comes out the victor.
And you've seen this with a lot of the candidates, particularly the lower down the tier you go, trying to get some attention for themselves by invoking the name of Donald Trump. Bobby Jindal has been doing a lot of this, you know, like trolling him on Twitter just to see if, you know, "I'm going to start using Trump in all of my press releases just so you'll write about me." I don't know it works. But it certainly works, I think, for the top tier to try and set the contrast. It's been very clear that everybody now is willing to say, "I'm not Donald Trump because I don't believe Donald Trump has the right answers, and here's why." I think, by the way, you'll see a bunch of them tonight attacking Donald Trump for not actually being a Republican. The concern for a lot of Republicans is that if you look at Donald Trump's history, a lot of his positions have been much closer to Democratic positions than Republican positions.
If everyone does gang up on Donald Trump, though, it seems like that could have a backlash. His supporters say, look, they're all ganging up on him. They're scared of his strong message. Maybe people lean that way would feel sympathy. You know, you strike him down, he comes back stronger than you can possibly imagine in this thing.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they could turn Donald Trump into the underdog, which, of course, is a mantle he would be proud to wear.
We're talking to USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer about the second Republican primary debate tonight. It begins at 7 Central this evening.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you want to hear the candidates answer in this debate tonight? What are you going to be looking for? Whose performance are you looking forward to see, for better or worse? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about tonight's Republican debate with USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. It's the second Republican presidential debate scheduled for tonight at 7 o'clock Central.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you plan to watch, what are you going to be looking for? And who is your pick for the likely victor and likely losers? Call 800-642-1234, or you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Paul, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, the verdict, it seemed, on the last debate was not that he did badly, it's just that he didn't stand out all that well.
Right.
He's rebooted his campaign, kind of a tough talk on unions at the national level. What does he need to do? What do you expect to see him do tonight?
Well, you know, we have been commenting over the past week or two about the slide of Scott Walker in the polls. You know, in the summer, he was very, very popular in Iowa for a brief period of time, and sort of became the flavor of the week, and has started to trend significantly downwards, and now is trailing in the polls. And, you know, part of the problem, Rob, is you got, you know, a dozen candidates standing around, and it's hard to distinguish yourself. It's hard, again, to come away with some sort of message that makes you unique, that makes you memorable, and that makes you inspiring. And that is hard to do in a crowded field. It's hard to do an event like this. I mean, the debate tonight, my understanding of the rules is they each get a minute to respond to each question. Well, that's not much. So it sort of reduces you to sound bites. I guess what you got to do is find a sound bite that is enough to make people remember you and go, oh, yeah, that guy. We like that guy. He was good. I just don't know how you do it. I mean, it's hard to strategize for these things. It's also hard to figure out because you're in a sort of multi-layered brawl with 11 different people attacking each other all at once. It's hard to know how much you can anticipate and have a strategy for.
Well, I guess one question is, how much do debates matter, or do debates matter? Can Scott Walker go into this debate, not stand out, blend into the background, maybe not do any damage, but still be okay as far as his campaign is concerned and as far as his Iowa prospects?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Scott Walker is in jeopardy of disappearing from this race. I mean, I do think that debates matter to this degree that, you know, someone's going to be voted off the island in the next couple of days. We already lost Rick Perry. And for some, particularly some of the lower tier candidates in the earlier, what we refer to as the happy hour debate, you know, there's a real danger of just a level of irrelevance from which you cannot recover. I don't think for the top tier debate participants we're there yet, unless you do something really dumb and lose. I mean, if you forget the name of your opponent, if you forget where Syria is. If you pull a Rick Perry and say, oops, I mean, those sort of things can be fatal. I don't think you win the election on a debate in the middle of September, but you can definitely scare off a lot of supporters if you are, you know, noticeably embarrassing in public.
Talking to Paul Singer with USA Today about tonight's Republican presidential debate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do debates matter in a primary like this? What does it take for a candidate to stand out in a debate? Who are you looking forward to seeing, hearing from, for better or worse? Call now at 800-642-1234. Paul, we had an email from Jeremy who says, I want to see Carly Fiorina and Hillary duke it out for president. I think that would be a real amazing race. What do you think the chances are? It would be unprecedented to have one major party candidate be a woman, much less both.
It would be stunning. I would not rule it out. I mean, I don't know who's going to be the Republican nominee. I don't know who's going to be the Democratic nominee, for that matter. I think, you know, Hillary is clearly the favorite in the Democratic field. In the Republican field, it's a little bit of a toss-up at this point. But it would be phenomenally interesting to see two women, you know, running for the highest office in the land. We did have and you know, I don't remember my numbers because I'm not very good at math, but I remember in 2014 there were a half dozen, I believe, Senate races that were woman versus woman, and we noted that was really interesting. It just sort of speaks to the fact that women have become much more active in American politics, and that's, I think it's probably a good thing.
And going back to Ben Carson for a moment, has he been getting the short end of the stick on this? Because he's been a solid number two. He hasn't been brassy and vocal as Donald Trump has, and yet he's still been a kind of a solid number two. Why isn't he getting more attention?
Well, he's about to. That's the interesting thing about this is you remember in the first debate at one point Carson said, you know, am I going to get any time to talk here? You got any questions for me? Anybody remember me over here? But his campaign has been quite strong since then. People are responding well to his message. He's really energized some of the evangelical voters in Iowa, which is a good group to get because they're very important in the caucuses. And now he's rising in the national polls, and he's second. So now there's going to be a lot more talk about him, a lot more questions posed to him, and now he gets his moment to really star in one of these debates. Let's see how he handles it. If he handles it well, I think it's a great way for him to cement his position as a top-tier candidate. If he handles it poorly, maybe he starts to sink back to the pack.
Let's talk about issues that might come up in this debate. Immigration was a biggie last time around, driven in large part by Donald Trump talking about it leading up to it. What are you maybe expecting to see or hoping to see the candidates have to address in tonight's debate?
Well, I would not at all be surprised to see them comment on the Planned Parenthood videos that have been very inspiring, I would say, amongst the Republican base. I mean, there's been an awful lot of conversation, an awful lot of energy. And remember, this is a Republican primary, right? So the issues that tend to stand out in most of the conversations I've had recently with Republicans are the Planned Parenthood stuff is a serious concern. The Syrian refugees crisis is a big concern. There's obviously some issues about, you know, whether or not we're going to have a government shutdown. You know, those are the kind of policy issues I would expect to see some discussion about. I can't imagine they get around this conversation without talking about Donald Trump's wall along the Mexican border. You know, stuff like that. I also have to assume there will be some conversation about tax policy. You know, both Rand Paul this morning was shooting at the tax code once again. He's put out a fairly dramatic tax plan for essentially a flat tax. Jeb Bush has his tax plan out, which is sort of more traditional tax cuts. I would assume, again, in a Republican debate, tax cuts would be an issue that you'd have a lot of conversation about if they can make time for it between the, you know, slugfest.
We're going to take a caller now. We've got Dennis on the line in Appleton. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. One question I would like to see asked tonight would be, would they support term limits for Congress? Because until there's term limits there, I don't think anything's going to change.
Hey, Dennis, thanks for that. Any chance that's going to show up, Paul?
Nope. Term limits is one of those things that comes up regularly at the grassroots, pretty regularly in the states, and just cannot really be done at the federal level. It doesn't work. There's a whole bunch of reasons why, and even the candidates who promise to term limit themselves, that is, I'll run and I'll only stay for three terms, generally back out of it at some point. The fourth term comes around, they say, you know what, I'm actually pretty good at this job and I like it. The term limits they've never figured out a way to do it, in part because the Constitution, you'd have to basically amend the Constitution to do it, and I just don't see it happening.
Paul, we've talked about the outsider candidates, Trump, Fiorina, Carson. We've talked a little bit about Governor Walker. Who else has the most to gain or lose tonight in the debate?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think Jeb Bush has a lot to gain. You know, I think he has to make it look like he's a front runner again. He has been, you know, bouncing around in the polls, you know, in second or third place, not falling off the list, but he also has not asserted himself as the Republican front runner, which at one point we anticipated he would be. He certainly has the establishment behind him, and he certainly has the money. So you would expect to see him try to assert himself as the front runner. I think he has a lot to gain. Similarly, I think someone like Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, they need to be able to prove that they're serious, that they're in it for the long haul, and that they can win. And thus far, you know, they've done okay, but they're still just okay, and they have to be careful that they don't just fade out.
And Paul, before we let you go, tonight's debate is going to clock in at something like 3 hours. We were talking this morning about how there's only a 4-minute bathroom break scheduled for the candidates within that 3 hours. But given that length and the month of September, people are busy. Are people going to watch this thing tonight?
No. Well, let me rephrase that. They're not going to watch all of it. Somebody was showing me some data a couple of days ago that the viewership, even for the last debate, which had a huge viewership, starts to drop off dramatically after the first 20 minutes. So if something interesting is going to happen, it better happen early, because by the second hour, I'm watching and maybe you're watching, but I'm not sure everybody else is.
Well, Paul, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great talking to you.
That was USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer talking about the second GOP primary debate. It's being held tonight at 7 o'clock at the Reagan National Library, and it's going to air on CNN.